The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the September 2018 Walter magazine. We'll begin with the Walter profile section. The title of this article is Driving Impact. Anthony Blackman's captivating personality never tires of giving back. Anthony Blackman is a testament to the power of saying yes. He grew up in Sanford, North Carolina, and attended NC State University. As the first college attendee in his family, he started his own business from the ground up and gives to more charities than he can count. Blackman is always seeking connection in a world that tends toward isolation, and he's not about to slow down now. Blackman owns Atlantic Tire and Service, a local car care chain that opened its fourth location this year. The new store in Wake Forest joined the existing stores in Cary, Raleigh, and Research Triangle Park, and he has plans to open the fifth and sixth locations over the next couple of years. Blackman doesn't operate out of a corporate headquarters somewhere. He has a modest office right off the lobby at Atlantic's Cary location, and he's as likely to be out of the office as in it, talking to customers or employees. He's on a crusade to make people feel better about dealing with auto mechanics, focusing on customer satisfaction above all else. He says he recognizes that the industry can be quite negative. We're very upfront with people in letting them know what's wrong and how we're fixing it. We show people the parts we replaced and what we did. If we replaced your air filter, I'm going to have it in a plastic bag to give to you to show you why we replaced it. Above everything else, we want people to know when you need us, we'll be there. That same attitude extends beyond the business for Blackman and his wife, Beth. Blackman said he made charitable donations to 44 organizations last year, and a story several years ago in the Triangle Business Journal estimated that Blackman donated roughly 11% of his revenue to local nonprofits and community organizations. The reasons he does it are myriad and go beyond simply writing checks. The Blackmans have served in leadership roles for charitable organizations and civic groups, and Blackman has served as chairman of both the Cary and Morrisville Chambers of Commerce. It goes back to the way he was raised. We didn't have a whole lot, but we shared. And that's always meant the most to me, he says. When people help people, we have a much better chance of solving problems. Blackman says there isn't a plan to their giving. They do what they can, when they can. I know my accountant says my bottom line would be a lot better if we didn't donate so much, but I know I wouldn't be any happier. In conversation with Blackman, it's not hard to trace the origin of both his business success and servant's heart to his family. They taught him the importance of hard work, and it was his uncle's Two Bay service station in Bass, North Carolina, that planted the seeds of auto service in his mind. When I was a little boy, I remember seeing my uncle go to the Coca-Cola machine, and he would take a Coke out and not have to pay, said Blackman. That made an immediate impression on me. But as I got older, I realized his business made him a pillar of the community and allowed him to take care of his family. That inspiration sat on a foundation built by his parents, however. His father worked at a textile mill in Sanford, and his mother raised four children. He remembers his first job as a paperboy delivering the Sanford Herald. On a snowy day, he decided to skip one of the steeper streets on his route, figuring no one would know the difference. By the time he got home, one of his customers had already called to ask where his paper was, and his mother was waiting for him. I learned right then and there, you deliver on your promises, said Blackman. And that was a two-way street. As determined as his parents were to make sure he made all his deliveries each day, they also impressed upon him how important it was to collect his money each week. My mother was a businesswoman at heart, he says. She just directed it toward managing our home because she had four children. His mother's influence truly shines through Blackman's dedication to service, however. He recalls the death of his grandfather when he was young. The family was using a local funeral home to handle the arrangements and went with their housekeeper, who was African-American, to pay their respects. Someone stopped them and said, "We don't allow coloreds in the funeral home." Blackman's mother did not raise a fuss. She acknowledged the policy and simply said, "We're taking our granddaddy out of here." They took their business to another funeral home and never returned. Blackman says he didn't fully understand what was happening at the time, but he did get the message that if you wanted the world to be a better place, you had to take an active role in making it that way. "That sense was instilled in me at a very young age," he says. You see the evidence of his work all over his office, awards or other tokens of appreciation from the Miracle League, a local nonprofit that provides the opportunity to play baseball for children with special needs, the Caring Place, a group in Cary that provides transitional housing for homeless families, the Boy Scouts, the USO, the Rotary Club, the Salvation Army. It's obvious that Blackman thrives on human connection and values giving more than receiving. When you give back, you hope other people see the value in that and do something themselves. The Caring Place clearly has a special place in Blackman's heart, not only because it has an intensely local focus, but because it's about helping people through a direct relationship and giving them the skills to become stable and self-sufficient. He talks about not throwing money at problems, about actually getting out and helping people, and the Caring Place seems to check all those boxes. Leslie Covington, the executive director of the Caring Place, says the Blackmans have helped the organization through everything from donations and event sponsorships to leadership on their board. "So many people like Mr. Blackman will assist you from year to year because they see what I saw coming here," she told Tire Business when it named the Blackmans the recipients of the 2016 Tire Dealer Humanitarian Award, a national honor dating back 25 years. "They see progress. They see people making changes in their lives and doing it with the assistance of others and a hand up, but not a hand out. Their presence gives us merit. Because they support us, a lot of people will say, 'You know what? That's got to be some good stuff going on over there.' And when their light is shining, it shines in someone else's direction, and it gives us more attention and allows us not to just raise money, but to raise awareness of what we do. Don't get the idea that business is just a sideline to Blackman, though. Building a thriving business is what has allowed everything else to follow." Blackman graduated from NC State in 1977 and went right to work as a retail management trainee for Goodyear. He helped manage a store on Pool Road, and he says he enjoyed it from the start. "I love the interaction with the people." Even if Blackman doesn't call himself a people person, you could make that determination for yourself. When talking to him, you're bombarded with the names of the various people he's crossed paths with through the years, from the rich and powerful to the poor and humble. In 1988, Blackman decided to strike out on his own with his partner, Richard Light. They opened Atlantic Avenue Tire and Service in Raleigh, with $20,000 in the hope that people would come to my door. Blackman says he faced the typical challenges of starting up a business, but his confidence did not waver. "I never thought about not succeeding." Blackman says the positive sign came early when a woman stopped in for help with a flat tire before the business had even officially opened. "We were lucky. A lot of customers followed. We expanded to from six to ten bays pretty soon after opening." After 10 years, Blackman wanted to expand the business westward, and Light wanted to get his family involved, so they parted amicably. Light retained the original business, which he continues to operate in its original location on Harrod Street, right off Atlantic Avenue. Blackman opened a standalone location in Cary, simply dropping the Avenue from the business name. Blackman has grown his business as the Triangle has grown, relying not only on marketing to individuals, but also on a strong commercial business. Our clients are very loyal, he says. Rarely does someone come to do business with us that they don't come back. And while he expects to have 6 locations open soon, it's the vision for his 7th that gets him really excited. His first job with Goodyear brought him to Southeast Raleigh, where he says he hopes to come full circle with an Atlantic Tire location in the same area. When I worked there, it was the first time besides my nanny when I interacted with African Americans, and that really makes a difference in how you view things. He says he will never forget a young neighborhood child named Tommy Lee Morgan who came into the store asking about one of the bikes on display. Blackman let him borrow it, and they developed a long-term relationship. As the boy grew up, Blackman helped him financially and counseled him. But Morgan died at a young age from drug abuse. That really opened my eyes up. I saw the challenges people are facing, and I wanted to work in a small way to help people out of that. Blackman says he believes people need opportunities in order to be successful, and he envisions the Southeast Raleigh location as an incubator of sorts. He says he hopes to hire local businesses to build the store and wants to employ local residents that are in need of training to become technicians and mechanics. He plans to hire graduates from Shaw and St. Augustine universities in management roles, and he sees corporate sponsors taking their involvement beyond just being a standard business partnership. I want to make it something the community can really be proud of, he says. I think it could enhance the lives of so many people. It's just about me and my company wanting to give back to that community. Those plans are still a few years off, but the vision is there. As is the case with most of Blackman's pursuits, he hasn't even contemplated the possibility that it won't be successful. He can already see the building inside and out. And I guarantee you one thing, he says, there'll be a picture of Tommy Lee Morgan in there. Our next article in the Through the Lens section, The Circus is in Town. We're all searching for magical moments, the extraordinary, moments that transport us from the mundane of daily life. Look no further than Imagine Circus. Raleigh's Imagine Circus is a full-service production company bringing circus and cirque-style entertainment to the Triangle, North Carolina, and across the United States. You can book a wide variety of acts for a private or public event, including fire breathers, aerial dancers, stilt walkers, fire dancers, live body painters, magicians, and fortune tellers. Co-owner Liz Bliss says the company was created to further collaborate in the niche art form. It was built out of a desire to create community and positive relationships in our hometown. Bliss founded the circus with friends and colleagues Katie Bertusseri and Casey Torres. The trio owned 2 separate companies, and they decided to join forces in January of 2017. We didn't want to compete with each other, says Bliss. Our goal was always a supportive and positive relationship. Over a year later, the circus has almost 30 performers, and many are scattered throughout the country. Bliss says she hopes that these unique performers inspire viewers to embrace joy and experience beauty. Circus offers the opportunity for people to realize that we are all ordinary people doing extraordinary things. It's a constant reminder of the beauty that exists among the ordinary. From the At the Table section, Nostalgic Fair, honoring Carrie's past and paving the way for its future. It's no coincidence that downtown Carrie's postmaster overlooks the historic railroad hotel built by town founder and self-proclaimed postmaster Frank Page. Page, described as an energetic entrepreneur, paved the way for many firsts in Cary. In his own way, Postmaster Pastor's owner, Toastmasters owner, Tyler Watt, has done the same, as Cary increasingly becomes the destination for residents of the Triangle and beyond. Frank Page deemed himself to be the first of many things in Cary, and we're kind of the first on Cedar Street, said Watt. And we won't be the last on Cedar Street, that's for sure. In the last 3 years, Watt says Cary has seen several owner-operated businesses open in the core of downtown. Watt was at the forefront of this growth when he opened Pharmacy Bottle and Beverage in 2015, just 500 feet from Postmaster. He says he only sees this growth continuing. The projection I see for Cary is that we'll never be a downtown with skyscrapers, but we will be an ultimate neighborhood destination. Postmaster, which Watt opened in 2017, is both a nod to Cary's roots and a look into its future. The modern and quaint space was born from a pop-up beer dinner at the pharmacy that brought Watt and Postmaster executive chef Chris Lopez together. At the time, Lopez worked at Ashley Christensen's Jewel Coffee and later assisted chef Sonny Gearhart in the same space at St. Roche Fine Oysters and Bar. We saw this empty gap. With that beer dinner and how quickly it sold out, that showed us we can do something fun. We can do something unique. We can do something funky without having to go to downtown Raleigh, Chapel Hill, or Durham, says Lopez. Set in a commercial building on the corner of Cedar and North Walker Streets, Postmaster has an open dining room with window walls that face the railroad tracks. Across the tracks is the hotel, constructed in the late 1860s by Page, now known as the Page Walker Arts and History Center. Today, the center provides a variety of events for locals. A functioning garage door opens to a patio with a view of Cary's burgeoning downtown. Lopez describes the food as upscale comfort food, and he aims to invoke nostalgia with his dishes. Items like hominy hush puppies topped with sorghum, creme fraiche, and chili oil provide an upscale twist to a familiar item, and this theme is constant throughout the menu. The squash and mushroom gratin with goat cheese, cornbread, and tomato gravy has that homey feel while highlighting local produce and has no air of pretension about it, Lopez says. Pastry chef Maria Luna and bar manager Patrick Dunmeyer maintain this down-to-earth approach with the desserts and cocktails. Luna put her own spin on the nostalgic kids' dessert, a cup of dirt. It includes a chocolate pastry cream with a red wine-soaked chocolate cake, chocolate streusel, and a homemade fig gummy worm. We're going to plate it up fancy and all of that, but at the end of the day, it's still a cup of dirt, Lopez says. At the bar, Dunmeyer stirs and shakes cocktails that are both innovative and approachable, such as the lavender sunflower, which includes gin, Cointreau, Saint-Germain, and lavender tea concentrate. The simple Cary fashion is a variation on the old-fashioned with a bourbon sorghum syrup and orange bitters. While some of the restaurant staples remain constant throughout the year, Postmaster changes the menu seasonally and sources the majority of its items locally whenever possible. Weekend features allow for Lopez and the staff to test out recipes and determine which items deserve a place on the permanent menu. In downtown Raleigh, you can put whatever you want on a plate and people will flock to it, Lopez says. We have to tread lightly a little bit, and that's why we run features every weekend so we can see what works, what doesn't, and tweak and modify from there. On a weekend in July, a small plate highlighting the bounty of summer produce in a simple preparation, blistered shishito pepper and sun gold tomato escabeche with purple basil vinegar, shallot, sea salt, and olive oil. The braised brisket au jus balances a rich cut of brisket with the brightness of the spring hash with charred cabbage. As the fall and winter approach, Postmaster will transition to heartier dishes that Lopez says are intended to feel like a warm hug. The restaurant recently launched a brunch service, and Watt hopes this will be a popular draw for Cary residents on Sundays. He says it's a great chance to try unique menu items like the African-inspired cornmeal drop donuts. There's a lot of churches down here and a lot of Sunday foot traffic happening in downtown, but there's not a lot of food, he says. Sunday brunch is an opportunity that we're looking at to bring more people down here and experience Postmaster in a slightly more casual atmosphere. As businesses continue to open, visitors and residents alike will be a part of the experience that is uniquely Cary, such as dinner at Postmaster with a short walk to the nearby Bond Brothers Beer Company afterwards for a beer. You can do everything here that you can do on Glenwood South, Five Points or 9th Street in Durham, or wherever it is, Watt says. That's the trajectory we're on. Now on to the Giver section. More than a home, local nonprofit gives dignity to homelessness. One Raleigh woman and her daughter used to spend every afternoon waiting in line for a bed at the shelter. Now the daughter spends her afternoons at Girl Scout meetings. A Raleigh man used to sleep in a tent by the highway, hoping it wouldn't rain. Now, when he sees storm clouds, he doesn't worry that he'll lose all of his belongings. These stories and thousands, and those of thousands in this community, have ended in hope, thanks to CASA, a Raleigh-based nonprofit that develops and manages affordable apartments in the Triangle for low-income adults and their families, many of whom are veterans or living with disabilities. For 26 years, CASA has worked with the goal that no tenant becomes homeless again. At CASA, the complex problem of homelessness is met with a seemingly simple solution: housing. When people look at the cost of apartments to rent in our community, it's overwhelming, and it's easy to think there's nothing you can do about homelessness. But there is something you can do, says Missy Hatley, CASA's resource development manager, and we're doing it. In 1993, the organization purchased its first four properties in downtown Raleigh with a grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. CASA now manages 490 properties in Wake, Durham, and Orange counties. At first, people think, oh, these affordable apartments will devalue my neighborhood. But they find the opposite to be true, said CEO Mary Jean Seda. CASA often rehabs abandoned buildings or builds new structures that add to the value and vibrancy of their settings. In Raleigh, these buildings are nearly all inside the Beltline for easy access to the public transportation. It can happen to anyone, says one tenant, a veteran whose combat injury caused a neurological condition that prevents him from holding a steady job. I didn't think it could happen to me. I'm educated, I went to a good school, I have a degree, and I had a good job. But when I got sick, I lost my savings, and it was all just gone. For individuals who've experienced homelessness, an apartment means dignity. In CASA apartments, tenants pay 30% of their income on rent, regardless of the number on their paychecks. For those who have experienced homelessness, moving off the streets and into a home outwardly changes them. Tenants start to look different, Hatley says. They come in seeming taller, holding themselves differently, looking you in the eye. During bouts of homelessness, many tenants kept people at arm's length so no one would know. But once the tenants receive housing, they can reunite with family, have their children visit, and reconnect with friends. Many join churches, volunteer in the community, and realize their potential as a contributing member of society. An apartment also means safety. Many CASA tenants cry when they first hold their apartment keys, when they realize they have a door to lock, a place of refuge. I can go home and be at peace, and I'm able to cook, one tenant says. If I want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and fry eggs and bacon, I can do that. My self-esteem is a lot higher. My health is better. Having a refrigerator means access to more nutritious foods, but the health factor goes beyond the kitchen. One local couple slept on the street for years before learning the wife had cancer. Her doctor would not allow her to start chemotherapy while living in a tent. Desperate for housing that could save her life, she turned to CASA. The couple now lives in an apartment near Cameron Village, which will be their home indefinitely. Dr. Keith Hull, co-founder of Raleigh Neurology Associates, said, "Since my earliest career, many patients who were homeless have told me it was hard to keep their medications secure and to remember to take them because of uncertainty about where they're going to sleep." Hoping to provide a good example of community service for his children, Hull joined the Volunteer Wake County Board of Mental Health in 1989, where one of his ideas led to the formation of CASA. After 26 years of involvement with a nonprofit, Hull says working with CASA has been like achieving success during a Monopoly game. It's easier to sustain the effort when, as time goes by, we're seeing more CASA structures in more neighborhoods. Last year, 98% of CASA tenants completed a year of paying monthly rent. Nearly 500 tenants and their families currently live in CASA apartments around the Triangle, but another 1,500 are waiting in the applicant pool, waiting while they line up for shelter beds and pitch their roadside tents, waiting as CASA tirelessly works on new developments, more land, more apartments, until every one of them has a roof and a bed. We've worked with other groups and other communities that work on part of the problem, such as helping pay bills and providing services, but this doesn't get to the fundamental issue of affordable housing, says board member Stuart Witzenman, who, along with his wife Carrie, has been involved with CASA since they moved to Raleigh 5.5 years ago. CASA's model gets to the root of the problem, treats people with dignity, and helps those that can easily be forgotten, he says. Recipients of CASA apartments who used to sleep in their cars or on inflatable mattresses in storage units find real human compassion at CASA, and the solution isn't temporary. As long as the tenants pay rent, their leases will never expire. "When you don't feel safe, you're always looking over your shoulder," one tenant says. "Thanks to my apartment, I don't have to do that anymore. Now I look ahead." From the Triangle Now section, with Body and Soul, Bluegrass opens wide. The grass is always bluer in late September when the world of bluegrass descends upon downtown Raleigh. Presented by the International Bluegrass Musicians Association, the IBMA, week-long series of events brings together industry professionals, amateur musicians, and fans of the music tradition deeply rooted in North Carolina. The week kicks off September 25th through the 27th at the Raleigh Convention Center with the Business Conference, a trade show for bluegrass professionals to network and share the latest advancements in technology and sound. The professional conference concludes with the IBMA Awards Show to recognize and honor the best in bluegrass across 17 categories. It's not all work. Also on the calendar is the Bluegrass Ramble, a showcase of over 200 performances, introducing up-and-coming talent to the bluegrass community. Acts will be playing September 25th through the 27th at venues all around downtown Raleigh, including the Convention Center, Vintage Church, King's, the Poorhouse, Architect Bar, Social House, and the Lincoln Theater. We've run out of time for today's episode at Walter Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long till next time. If you had questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138.